next.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Every single Thursday, we do this thing called a shape shifter, and this is where we bring you, of course, people who are leading in their industry, in their work, whatever it is, and we look for them, we seek them, and we find them, and we appreciate them, and this is how we give them their flowers, by just bringing them on board every single Thursday, and this is where they share their life with us. And on the line, we've got Noxolo Mathanga, who is the founder of Masa Muesli. And that's an interesting name. I do want to talk to you about that. Good evening, ma'am.
Hello, 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 Mr. Miloyi. How are you?
Ah, you know, you've just given me, you know, an elevation. No one has ever called me Mr. Miloyi.
Of course. So. Of course.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm good. And how are you? So we usually say at home, we are under construction.
Oh, lovely. What does that even mean?
It means that every day is a new day. Every day you meet new things, and every day you strive to improve yourself to be better.
Ah, you are under construction.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I think I must write this one because I'm going to take it with me. So every day we are under construction. Oh, love it, love it, love it, love it. And how was the construction day today?
The construction, so just to paint a picture of my day today, yes. I have done 12,000 steps and that is the picture of how my day was today.
Yeah. And in that 12,000 steps, I suppose there's also money that was made. Can't work that way.
Listen, while I'm waiting for you to call, there was a notification that was coming through.
Yay! that's definitely what we want to hear. That's lovely. And I'm going to charge you then for this interview. Okay, we agree, because you just got a notification. So clearly there's something about me, you know, bringing monies.
We'll talk about that later.
Love it for you, ma'am. And that's beautiful. That's what we Great want to stuff. Hear. We want to hear about bank account notifications, you know, that give us money. Already there was a comment coming saying, "Where?" She already came out swinging. So already you've just made made an impression already before you even go anywhere. But I think that gives testament to why we have people like you on Thursdays, to just share a little bit. Because you realize just how much work you do in your own space, and you think it's your own space, but we see you, we're watching you, and okay. You know, that's why we bring in this particular segment. But there's perhaps young people that are looking up to you, who may not have the opportunity to ask, you know, interact with you and ask you, "Kahle, how did you even get to be where you are, and what did you go through and all that? And more importantly, how do you navigate the space that you are in at this particular time?" And that's why there's this segment. So we appreciate your time. We appreciate you as well for making the time to come at this particular point in time. But I want to take you back. I don't know how far back this is, but I want to take you back to your childhood. Where were you born?
Okay, I was born in Gariga, in a place called Gariga.
Okay.
But it's used to be Uitenhage.
Uitenhage.
Obviously Uitenhage. And obviously we called it, being Xhosa, we called it Dinaga. I mean, you know, who are we?
Yes.
So that's where I was born. I was born in a family of six. I'm a twin. And I've never had a space of my own.
Okay.
I've always shared a womb.
Okay.
Until today, I do not have a space of my own.
Ah.
And I was born in a family of the Goliaths, the giants.
Okay.
And then I got married to the Mathangas.
Yeah.
And I met them here in Joburg, but they are originally from the Eastern Cape as well.
Ah, fantastic. And what was your childhood like? What are some of the memories you have, good or bad, or fond memories? And I suppose some of the challenges that you faced growing up.
So one of the one challenge that has made me to be who I am today is having to share a space with everyone. Our family home was a home where pastors used to sleep over. We've always had visitors. We've always had people around. We've always hosted family members. It has always been a full house. So that's the fond memory that I have of my own. And that has shaped me to be a hoster. So sure. if people know me, I love cooking. I love making good food. I'm not a chef. Not close.
Yeah.
But I make good food, even if I have to say so myself.
Yes, definitely.
So I cook, I bake, and I make sure that the home is always warm. And I think that's what made me to be the space of food, in a space of making people have that fuzzy feeling of whatever that they have that comes from you, it makes them feel good.
That's really interesting. And being with other siblings as well, like you said, you never had time to be alone. You always shared space. And this kind of then, I suppose, influenced who you are today. Did you find that it was the same when you walked out of the doors of your house? Or did you find that in the community, particularly if we go back to even its name, you know, Etinaga, did you find that, society shared the same values? I mean, this must be in the so-called apartheid times and all the times. There was that common shared vision in the community as well. Was that the case?
Yes, at a particular time in our lives, we were still in primary school, and it was the toy toy time, and we had to house a few comrades that were toy toy, and we had to house them in a trap door, door up on the ceiling.
Sure.
So that said a lot about a home being a home for refuge, where people run to.
Yes.
And you know, that's where you end up seeing that the society also saw us as that. And you know, the people around us would say, so and so doesn't have a place to stay, and we would be the first to recommend, because we probably have a space.
Yeah.
A space for them. Yeah. You know? And as I said, I grew up in that environment. And I'm still in that environment where if my brother's child seeks a place to stay, I would say, come, let's stay together. I'm a grandmother, by the way, at the age of 46.
Yes.
But she stays with us, So it's that society that we lived in.
Yeah.
And I remember at some point in our lives we would share food as well. You carry an extra plate, you carry an extra scarf, you carry an extra spoon, an extra juice for someone. And my kids as well are also in that, even though they go a bit extra, but they are like that as well. So that's a society that we grew under. And when we came to Joburg, we came to Joburg as well, we brought that that kind of environment as well.
That's interesting. And so school, how was school? Did you have to also walk long distances, kilometers as well, just to make it to school?
So I was relatively the rich kid.
You are born, man.
You know, born, around the hood.
Born.
But why I'm saying this is because about a few weeks ago I met an old friend that I used to go to school with, and he said, you know, when we used to grow up, we always wanted to be part of your family because you guys were rich and we were not rich. By the way, we were not rich.
Yeah.
But everybody longed to be part of the warm family.
Yes.
So I went to a primary school. I was dropped off by my daddy, dropped off at the school gate and picked up by the school gate. So I never had the privilege of walking long distances home and to school. So I went to a Seventh-day Adventist primary school in New Brighton.
Yeah.
And that was the duration of my primary school.
Yeah.
And just when we were about to go to high school, then we moved here to Joburg.
Ah.
And I started my high school in a multiracial school.
Yeah.
It was in 1989, if I must say.
Yeah.
So I was the only black child in my class because it was still, you know, that time.
Yeah.
So I never had the privilege of, or I was never underprivileged in terms of schooling.
Yeah.
It's just the choices that we make that make us underprivileged because I got a chance to do everything that I wanted to do.
No, there's nothing wrong with owning it, you know, if it didn't happen to you. Because I think sometimes we want to sound relevant. Hey, I grew up poor when you didn't grow up poor. No, you didn't grow up poor.
Yes,
You grew up affluent. Yeah. You're okay. You know, your family was able to take you to school. You know, you were the first black child in the white class. You know, it's okay to also take those in and say. But as you reflect on that, I suppose with the advancement of democracy, and I'm still going back to just the childhood thing, with the advancement of democracy and all those sort of stuff, did you ever have an epiphany where you could contrast the two worlds together and say, I was a child back then, but these things, I maybe didn't participate in them, or if you participated in them, whatever the case may be, but contrasting the two worlds, you can see the difference.
Yes, of course I can see the difference. I mean, where I stay in the East Rand, and it used to be a suburb, you know, like a very white suburb, and then it turned into a location, Eno, my friend, in every street corner.
Yes, yes.
And that contrast for me, like, it came very quick.
Yeah.
That when we moved in Dawn Park, it was like, wow, this is all infiltrated with white people. And now all of a sudden it's everyone is black. There's no white people around us.
Yes.
And we still want to claim our suburb back, but I mean it's impossible now.
Yeah.
But that contrast is there where you like think, okay, but the people that can afford, there's a huge difference with people that cannot afford.
Yes.
You know, people that cannot take their children to school.
Yes.
And I think at some point in my life, I got into a sales career where I was selling school uniforms, and we were selling the school uniforms to kids, to government schools, and the private schools.
Mm.
So the difference was that the private school could say, let's sign up for a contract, a 12-month contract where our kids can have a beautiful uniform.
Yeah.
Then you go to the black school, they say, we are still waiting for subsidy for our kids to get a uniform from government.
Yeah.
And you don't know when it's going to come.
Yeah.
So it's that those differences that I got to learn and got to live within that, I mean, it's like that.
Okay, that's interesting. Effectively, you sound like you're a PK, you know, even though you
never. Well, let me, it's interesting. My father was very involved in everything.
Yes.
If you talk about the Youth Federation, he was there. If you talk about the Elders Board, he was there. If you talk about everything. So, essentially I am, okay?
Yeah, but exactly.
I mean, I used to attend all the church events and sit with the PKs.
Don't tell them. They are listening. That's the problem. They're listening to PKs as well. So growing up then, your outlook, because I mean, I must be honest with you, I find that when you grow up in a warm, loving family, which is what we are supposed to grow up in any case, warm, loving family, perhaps maybe can afford one or two things. Even your outlook about life and the possibilities and opportunities that life can present, you're almost massaged into them to say, you can be whatever you want to be, you know. Don't give up. Even when you come back from a class with subpar marks, you know, You are told, no, don't worry, next time you can do it. As opposed to some of the people we talk to will tell you the contrast you can see, especially if you go to a public school where, you know, they, not really much care is given into massaging and caring and telling children that they can do it and all those sort of stuff. And so you almost see that contrast, you know, when people view life, you know, to say, I can make it, I can make it. You sound like you had that thing that says, and it was massaged in the house, that you can be what you want to be in life.
So, you know, I will tell you a bit of a sad story. That, you know, when you live with parents that are, that can do everything for you.
Yeah.
Until you get to a stage where they pass away.
Ah, I see. Okay, looks like we've lost a bit there. Yeah, we've definitely lost it. She was just telling us a little bit about, you know, when you get to the stage where you lose your parents, perhaps it's a little bit of network issues. Okay, she's back. So you were saying that, no problem. You're saying
until,
that when
until
you
they are
lose
not
your
around,
parents, yeah.
Yeah, until they're not around anymore, then you see, okay, Gonje, I'm supposed to be hardworking.
Yes, yes.
The hard work is instilled, was instilled in us.
Yeah.
We were taught hard work. We were taught to be, to be, you know, like to do everything that we have to do to get to where we have to be. But because they were always there, the fridge was always full. The fridge was always full. Trust me. There was never a need for me to go and work.
Yes.
Because they've always been there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's where I got a wake up call that, oh, by the way, I have to go and do shopping. Because they are no longer there. But I always found the fridge full all the time.
Yeah. 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 And that sad moment, it, you know, kind of then rewiring, I suppose, in your mind, around what needs to be done, because life must continue at the end of the day, and things need to be taken care of, and you need to now start, I suppose, owning and taking responsibility for certain things. Was that unsettling for you? And if it was, how did you navigate it specifically?
Very unsettling because even the clothes that I wore, I never bought them.
Yeah.
I never knew where to go and buy clothes.
Yeah.
It was very unsettling for me, but it took a wake-up call for me to like say, hey, again, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Your brothers are married. Your sister is married.
Yes.
Your twin brother is married even.
Yeah.
You are on your own.
Yeah.
Wake up and smell the coffee and do something.
Yeah,
you know, and I guess it wasn't hard for me to do something because it was inbuilt in me to do something. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's lovely. And do you remember your first job? Take us through your career then, you know, as you grew up and your first job. Do you even remember it?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I remember it very well. Like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So my first job, I worked at the Department of Education.
Yes.
And I was a clerk.
Yeah.
And when I got there, I pushed like I was a hard worker. And until the older ladies and you know, like the abantu bendawo.
Yeah.
Decided with this girl is just pushing too much. What is, does she want our position? But because I was on a contract, then I left the job. But it was a very nice job. I was working alongside the salaries department and attending to queries of the teachers and all that.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing. I was never a waitress. That's not where I started. I was never clean. You know, hence I'm saying that it all looked rosy for me. It was like life was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And some of the lessons you took then through that first job, what would you say are things you look back and you're like, till today that lesson still applies?
So I learned a little bit of discipline. As you might have, you can tell, I'm very outspoken.
Yes.
And I got threatened quite a few times.
Sure.
To say, ngathi uyaphapha.
Yeah.
And lo mntana wasekoloni. So I mean I got to sort of and just get, you know, and as a result, I do have a filter, but it works when I want to.
Yeah.
So I use my filter when I have to use my filter.
Yeah.
So that's basically the lesson that I took.
Nothing wrong with that. And at what stage did you think of, I suppose, branching to become an independent person and run your own business, which I said, by the way, it's an interesting name, Masse Muesli. Where did that one come from?
Okay, so I worked quite a bit. I worked in the travel industry for a while, for a good 15 years.
Yeah,
because I have experience in that industry.
Yeah,
until COVID hit.
Yeah, okay.
But way before COVID, I had registered a company because I had wanted to be a caterer, and I did a few gigs. I did a few TOC gigs.
Yeah.
I did a few East Rand district gigs.
Yeah.
I did a few camps, you know, like youth camps.
Yeah.
And then I stopped along the way and I said, ah, you know what? This is not me. Let me just go back to corporate.
Yes.
And I went back to corporate for some time until COVID hit.
Yeah.
And when COVID hit, I went through a little bit of depression because I had never not worked in my life by choice.
Yes,
you know, I had never, and it hit me very hard.
Yes.
And I also hit a very bad financial situation.
Yes,
of which I'm still recovering on that till today. And then I started looking for a job, and no one hires a 45-year-old. I just want to warn someone out there. If you are 35 years old, hang on to your job until dear life.
Yeah.
You know, no one wants to hire old people anymore. We don't qualify for learnerships. We don't qualify for things like that. And I got temporary jobs. I mean, from 2021 and I was selling school uniform.
Mm.
I was handing out pamphlets and eventually I got to work at a guest house.
Yeah.
And so I did everything, you know, like I did everything.
Yeah.
And then a light bulb moment came and said, you know what? You used to be in the food industry and you can do this.
Yeah.
Just do it. And I've had a recipe in muesli before. I've done it before way back in my life. And I thought, you know what? Let's just do this. Let's just do this. It's easy to do, man. It's just one of those things.
Yeah. Sure. And just to go back on that light bulb moment, because I really am interested in what switched it on? What is the one thing that said, now, stand up, do it, go back to that recipe? Did you have a voice somewhere?
So there's two things that made me to switch. It was the fact that I was not earning what I used to earn before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what? I do so much and I don't get enough.
Yeah.
I don't get paid enough.
Yeah.
But no. And and also, what also made me to decide was the fact that from the two jobs that I had, I was managing companies.
Yes.
And I was learning.
Yeah.
You know, like I was in a school.
Yeah.
You know, when you learn,
because
but usemsebenzini. So I took it as a learning ground. There must be a reason why I'm going through all this, not for me to sit and do nothing with it. So when I reflected back, when I had flashbacks of the 2 years, I thought to myself, listen, no. Just stand up, girl, and just do it. You can do this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, fantastic. That's why there's bank notifications, you know. those are good things. Those are definitely good things. Now, flashback moment, light bulb goes on, you need to do this thing. Did you anticipate a journey that would be easy? If not, difficult? What were you seeing and how have you navigated it till today?
So I saw a very difficult journey because I had just been through a very bad financial patch.
Yeah.
not a patch. What's bigger than a patch? It was bigger than a patch.
Yes.
It was way, whatever that way is. Bigger than it. It was a field. It was a field.
Yes.
So I had, I did not have any means of income, like sitting capital that I would use.
Yes.
And until I made up my mind and I said, this is what I'm going to use.
Yeah.
And when I say capital, I'm not talking about 100,000. I'm not talking about 50,000. I'm talking about buying a packet of oats and putting ingredients together and then buying packets to put your brandy, your items in.
Yes.
And then asking your very creative side of the brain, which is my twin brother, to do the branding for me. And that's how it came together.
Yeah. Ah, okay. For those of you who might not know, skhuluma ngolonwabo. I'm sure if we say lonwabo, then people would know who we are talking about, the creative brain.
Yes. So I'm not creative at all. I'm not creative at all. He's the creative side of the brain, of my brain.
But what came out then is this beautiful muesli that is being, I suppose, enjoyed by many people. Tell us a little bit about that. How has it been so far? How can people even get that muesli itself?
It's been exciting. Yeah. It's been an adrenaline rush. It's been hectic. Mm. You know, when I say hectic, I mean, I get home and I have to prepare packs for Sabbath because there's people that I'm going to meet at church that wants packs.
Yes.
And the famous recipe has been the berries.
Yes.
So the berries are moving. Okay. So everyone wants a taste of this thing that, you know, and it's been exciting. It's been, you know, like seeing your name onto something.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, beautiful.
Seeing an idea that was on paper come to life.
Mm.
It's a beautiful thing. Mm. And when I went on social media, oh my word, it was so overwhelming. Mm. That night I slept and I switched off my phone and I said, no, I'll see it in the morning.
Yes.
Because it was hectic.
Yes.
So it's been a very exciting journey for me.
Yeah.
I am born in a family of entrepreneurs, by the way.
Yes.
So it's not too hard. We're not pulling too hard.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we know what you'll be doing.
Yeah.
So it's just been a ride that I'm also, you know, learning every day.
Yeah.
The other day I ordered some stuff and they said, no, but you can only fetch it tomorrow.
Mm.
And I was already on my way all the way from Eastland to Randburg. And I said to my husband, you know what? This is a learning curve.
Yeah.
I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to shout. I'm not tomorrow. I know that I will go when I have to go. So you do get those like slap on your face that no, it's not what you thought it was. No, we're not. And you also have negative people that are saying, oh, mina ngifuni, mina ngithandi, mina don't eat this, you know. So we just smile and wave and move along.
Ah, definitely. Smile and wave. And we move along. I love that. Because sometimes we can get so boggled down by people's reactions and responses and all those sort of stuff. And we shouldn't. In this business, what motivates you? What makes you wake up in the morning and say, I will still do this despite negative people?
You know what? It's seeing everybody, you know, receiving it so well.
Yeah.
You know, when this other lady said to me the other day, oh my goodness, it just beats the Woolies one.
Yes.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
You want to eat it without even opening the package because
cool.
The package looks good.
Yes.
So it's all those people that are not even saying anything, but they've already on their third order.
Mm.
And you know, and it's all those people that are saying, I'm in MLO, but I mean, I'm willing to pay for delivery charges.
Yes.
And you know, it's all those people that are patting me on the back, especially my family, to say, girl, you got this.
Yes.
Just do it.
Yes, love that. You've got this. Just do it. Let's talk about money now, but I want us to look at it from a lessons point of view, and I suppose how you relate to money. It's a very important topic that we also take very importantly here. How's your relationship with money? Toxic? Good? We're getting there. We are growing. Koninte ngathi, you know, we must fix here and there.
You know what, Nay? It's not make sure.
Oh, okay.
It's not make sure. But I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. As I said, that I grew up with everything.
Yeah.
I grew up. Ben kera is kaftin esine yogurt ne tikis ne sandwich ne juice na na. So I never had a relationship with money until I started working.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That for me that's too late because how am I supposed to know what money is when I've never been taught what money is?
Mm.
And that brought me to teaching my kids that this is money, this is what we do with money, and this is how you take care of money. And it took me back to, because we did not have money and all the kids esingena na besikolo had money, thina besinganayo.
Yeah.
We even thought ukuthi ha.
Yeah.
The food that we were being given, we sold it. We sold it because we wanted money, you know?
Mm.
And money to do what? To buy amagwinya. Because beating the chicken mayo sandwich, you know, but you would go for amagwinya.
Mm.
So I would say that it took me a while to actually realize or to have a relationship with money, you know, let alone describing or see categorizing where it is, you know, and also that led me to most of bad decisions that I've made in my financial journey, you know, like bad decisions that led me to the bad financial patch that I have been through.
Yeah.
So I would encourage, if you've got kids and they, before they hit the teenage stage, teach them about money.
Yeah.
Talk to them about money.
Yeah.
Give them responsibilities about money.
Yeah.
You know, make them responsible.
Mm.
You know, the other day I sent my daughter to Pick and Pay to go buy bread and other things. She came back and she said, it costs so much to buy just 2 or 3 things.
Exactly.
And now they know that they won't finish a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
You know, they won't finish a loaf of bread all in one go.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure. That's I want to come back. I'm going to take you just back. You're saying lessons. What is that one mistake that you've done about money? Not investing. You know, what is that one that you, because you said there's mistakes, you know, and I suppose some of them because there was no relationship with money and it makes sense. That one that you look back and you're like, yo, this one.
That one is not investing.
Ah,
you know, my sister-in-law today put up a status and said that, and that's Lonabo's wife, by the way.
Yes.
And she says, listen, guys, remember, it's just payday. You are not rich.
Yeah.
It's just payday.
Yes.
It's just payday, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, it was like, yep, it's payday because now you're going to wait for another 30 days to actually get the money.
Yes.
You know, and what have you done with it?
Yeah.
You know, and it's those bad decisions that you end up finding yourself. But you want things, ne? Like you just want things and you want to be nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then what?
Hey, I must tell you that that payday is an excitement to a lot of people, Shem. I must tell you, you're not the only one that enjoys that. So a lot of people do enjoy that payday thing. How, Mrs. Goliath Kodwa, hashtag triggered. So your comment there is triggering people there. Which is just payday, man. Just relax. And you raise an important thing there because statistically speaking, I mean, you know, it's been concluded and found out that a lot of us, our salaries don't even get to 5 days after we've been paid. So by the next day already, we don't have money. We are thinking, hey, konjang samedi 25, and you must struggle through the next 24 days to get to the next payday. And we need to find ways to, I suppose, better manage money, better create relationships with money that are more sustainable, because leyo nesiyenza kamampela. As young people say, ayikho vele. Siphila isampur.
No siphila isampur. Ayikho nje isiyenzayo.
Definitely. How can people call you if they want Masa Muesli?
Okay, so Masa Muzli is on Facebook
as
Masa Muzli, and it's also on Instagram. And on Facebook, you will find our WhatsApp number where you can place your order.
Yeah.
But if anyone has got a pen now, can take the number.
Yeah.
It's 061
125 5233.
That is my number. That's where you can get hold of me.
Definitely.
And yeah.
That would be really nice.
That's who I am. And let me tell you how Master Muzli came about.
Yeah.
So Master Muzli, it's an Afrikaans, Master is Afrikaans.
Yeah.
And in Karicha, we are only colors. So every second word
is Master.
Master. So I just had to go back to my roots. And
But
he's catchy, and that can relate to my back home. You know, that can talk to where I come from and who I am.
I think you've just given us a new name, Masa Business Sense. You know, we'll change this show as well. Masa Business, Masa AWR.
Sorry, Masa is trademarked, so please don't
try that. Okay. No, what we'll do, we'll just say Masa Party. Yeah, bo?
Okay.
Like the other guys, it's just go Masa Party, you know?
That's fine.
So that you also fight at the court about whether, you know, the name belongs to a certain party, you know?
Of course. Let's not fight about that.
Definitely. Now, as we round it up then, when you look back at your own life, what you went through, your career and all that, what would be the one advice you give to your younger self? If you go back to that young Noxolo, what is the one thing you'd say to her?
So I would say to her, grab every opportunity that you get.
Mm.
Align yourself.
Mm.
Dream.
Mm.
You must dream.
Mm.
And then you align yourself to the dream.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Because if you dream and you are not aligned, I mean, really, we are wasting. Because if you look at my company registration, you will see how long ago I had registered the company.
Yes.
But when am I using the company?
Eish.
When? How many years? 10 years later,
only
then I'm using the company.
Alignment.
So you must dream and you must just align yourself to whatever that you're dreaming. Listen, there is nothing that cannot be done.
Yes.
That's impossible. That you cannot do on this earth.
Yeah.
There is nothing.
Sure.
To think that you are old and you can let me just share a little bit.
Yeah.
I got my license at the age of 45, my driver's license.
Mm.
And it's a code 14.
Mm.
Code 14.
Mm.
Not just I'm the
14.
Only one in the family, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just I'm the only one in the family who can drive a truck.
Yeah.
Not anyone else.
Exactly.
So I mean, there is nothing that is impossible. Whether you are young, whether you are old, if you want to do it, just do it.
Ah, if you want to do it, just do it. And what would you do differently now that you've got this thing that says dream, you know, align yourself? What would you think you would have changed if you were given the opportunity again to go back?
Well, I think I would have been a graduate.
Okay.
I think I would have been a graduate.
Yeah.
I think I would have had like a little bit of more accolades behind my name.
Yeah.
But that does not stop me from still achieving it, you know, from still doing it.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time, you know.
Yeah.
But I do think that I could have done it earlier, you know. I could have gotten myself into better financial position, better, you know, and just make better decisions.
Sure. 10 years from now, where are we going?
10 years from now, we're going to a warehouse.
Okay.
We're sitting in a warehouse.
Okay.
A warehouse that is owned by Masa Muzli.
Yes.
And obviously supplying worldwide.
Yeah. Well, you born not even just South Africa.
Sorry. We are exporting
international.
We are exporting. We are international. That's where we are going.
We will be there to just check in with you and say, hey, celebrate 10 years conversation that we had. Anila, so it's young people listening, look up to you as well. What would you say to them as we round this one?
Everything that I did in my life, I did late, you know, later than the normal, you know, like I need to be have the normal time. You must get married at 26, 25 or 23.
Yeah.
I got married at 28.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
And I had kids. I had my last born at 32, at 31. So, you know, I got my license at 45. It has not changed my character, you know. It has not changed a little bit of, it has not made me better.
Yeah.
The fact that I did things late.
Yeah.
Your time will come. You know, as Isaiah 60 verse 22 says that I, the Lord, will make it happen.
Hey.
And he will drag you, kicking and screaming.
Yes.
He will drag you to make it happen. You know, exactly. I was saying today to my brother and my sister, I was saying that, you know, the way things are happening so fast,
you've got nice life problems.
But then my sister says to me, no, it's happening because it's supposed to be happening.
Yes.
You know, it's time for it to happen.
Yes.
So I want to say to someone out there, if you have lost hope, please continue hoping. You know, the only person that kept me going was my husband. My husband was my hope.
Yes.
Because I would turn to him and say, listen, dude, I've lost hope. As a result, I used to call hope umakhohlisa.
Yes,
the hope umakhohlisa to keep us going to another day.
Yes.
And my husband was my prayer. My husband was praying on my behalf. You know, he was preaching on my behalf. He was singing on my behalf. And he kept me going to say, girl, you can do this. We are going to the next level.
That's beautiful. Sure. And may God bless him for that as well. And may you continue to bless.
Oh, my sweetheart. I call him Batista.
Batista. Sebonga Batista. Thank you so much, ma'am. We wish you nothing but the best. We'll definitely be checking in with you in the nearest future.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate this. You know, when you say that you give flowers to people that deserve them, I receive the flowers.
No, you deserve them.
I receive the flowers.
You deserve them.
Thank you very much. I never thought I would have to speak on radio. But you know what? It makes you serious. No one, when no one takes you serious. Because I'm doing something serious. I'm joking, but I'm very serious.
You even have a good radio voice.
But you, of course. Yeah. Sorry, hire me.
Exactly. They are listening. Don't worry. They are listening.
You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
Being relevant to the Christian community.
Definitely.
Because we don't want to see these things. We don't want to go to radio. Oh, I can't mention the radio name. We don't want to go to these radios and advertise our businesses. Without coming to our community we have been born and bred into.
Definitely.
So you guys are doing a great thing.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. May God bless you. Have a good
one. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.